In this edition of On the Campaign Trail, we'll follow some of the key races for state senate in Wisconsin and the race for attorney general. Good morning, I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 10 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Thursday, August 14th. First, our state government reporter Sean Johnson joins us to discuss some of the Senate districts that Democrats hope to pick up to regain control of the state Senate. Then after 7:30, we'll welcome in a guest analyst to preview the race for attorney general, now that we know who the Democratic candidate is going to be for attorney general. And we will welcome your questions for both of our guests at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Let me welcome our first guest, Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Well, you know, last week we were doing candidate forums during this hour of the program, including one state Senate district that we thought we should talk to the candidates running, the two Democratic candidates that were running in the 17th state Senate district. This is the seat that is currently held by Republican State Senator Dale Schultz. Boy, talk about a nail biter. Tell us about the primary outcome in the 17th.
Yeah, essentially election night is still happening for them, because when they counted the votes on Tuesday night, actually into Wednesday morning, two votes separated them. And you had Ernie Whitwer up on Pat Bomhack by just two votes. And, you know, to put that into context, you're talking about more than 7,000 votes cast here. 3,828 for Whitwer to 3,826 for Bomhack.
Oh, my goodness. So will there be a recount here?
Well, that is a possibility. And that was something that I had a chance to talk to Ernie Whitwer yesterday. Said he was hoping to have a bigger win, but he'd rather be up by two than down by two. And asked about the prospect of a recount. Here's what Ernie Whitwer had to say.
Well, if it happens, I'll be prepared for it. I hope it doesn't happen, because I think we ought to get our eye back on Howard Markline. He's the one we want to beat in this race. But we'll see what happens once the votes are certified and we really know what the numbers are.
So there's no automatic recounts in Wisconsin, even though you've got a race that's decided potentially by two votes, that doesn't trigger anything. It's up to the candidates to ask for the recount, and in this case, that would be Pat Bomhack. He didn't return calls yesterday to talk, but he did issue a statement. He said, "Now we can let election officials finish counting all the ballots cast in Tuesday's election and await the completion of the official canvassing process." Okay, so what does that mean?
Yeah.
Talked to Reed Magny, spokesman for the Government Accountability Board, which is the state's election agency. And Reed kind of laid out the processes that need to take place before any recount can start.
First, before the recounts can start, we have to have the official results. And, you know, in some cases, we still have absentee ballots coming in by mail, and they can get in as late as 4 p.m. on Friday. So we have to wait for all the ballots to come in, and then after that, the municipalities can finalize their canvass based on those late ballots coming in. Then the counties have to go through everything and do their canvass, which is basically the process of going through all of the paperwork, making sure everything's in order, reconciling things. And then once they certify their results, then we can start getting into the recounts.
So that could take a while. You could be looking at late August before the recounts start. And of course, in this race, you have, this race is intriguing for many reasons. I mean, this is not just a race that was decided by two votes. It was, this is basically the top target for Democrats. And it's a seat vacated by Dale Schultz. This is a seat that, Scott Walker did win in the recall election, but Barack Obama won it in the 2012 presidential election with 56% of the vote. And so while this, question over who won takes place, that is time that the candidates can't spend going after Howard Markline, the Republican candidate. And Howard Markline has a sizable lead in campaign fundraising and, by all accounts, a hardworking candidate. I think, you know, what makes him potentially vulnerable is he's also very conservative, potentially too conservative for that district is the thinking. So,
yeah, and Mark Lyne had actually, he was going to primary Dale Schultz, was he not, in the Republican Party?
He was, and that never happened. Dale Schultz decided, I'm not going to seek another term. Schultz had even toyed with the idea of running as an independent, but that didn't happen. So Mark Lyne had no primary here. He's going to be the Republican nominee, and now the question is whether it's going to be Baumhack or Whitwer for Democrats. And you heard Reid Magny allude to it there, but people who mailed their absentee ballots before Election Day, those can still arrive in the mail anytime between now and Friday and get counted. So you could potentially have, with a two-vote margin, you could potentially have the leader switch by Friday if there are any, you know, outstanding absentee ballots that were postmarked by Election Day.
Yeah. Another interesting side note to this particular district is, didn't the Democratic Party leadership in a way endorse the candidate who is at this point two votes behind?
Yeah, exactly. So this is the district that Chris Larson got involved in. Chris Larson is the minority leader of the state Senate. Early on, Ernie Whitwer was the only Democratic candidate for this race. He was lagging way behind Howard Mark Lyne in fundraising. And, presumably from Chris Larson's actions, he thought that Whitwer wasn't going to cut it against Mark Lyne. So Baumhack got into the race. He had been running for an assembly race, switched over to run for Senate. Larson said, I think you're going to see that he's the candidate in the next few weeks. Went so far as to not even mention Whitwer's name when he was introducing candidates at the state Democratic convention. That made Whitwer very angry, and his supporters angry too, because Whitwer's been active in the local Democratic Party out there. And I mean, I think it kind of lit a fire under them to have Larson backing Baumhack, kind of a latecomer to this race. But you know, obviously, Pat Baumhack is neck and neck there with Ernie Whitwer. And, you know, to say that Ernie Whitwer won that race when there are two votes separate, you really have to wait until all the votes are counted.
Yeah, and just kind of tying the bow on this one, Sean, this very close race, the canvassing and the possible recount, this could hinder Democratic efforts to reclaim this or to take this district?
I don't know. You know, I guess it depends on how long it takes. I would think that Democrats would want to be done with it and moving on to the general election. But this is only the second time we've had an August primary. In the past, we'd have a September primary. So it's not exactly as if you're getting an extremely late start if there's a recount. But yeah, I would think there would be, if the final tally comes through after the canvass and one of the candidates is, you know, one of the candidates will be ahead, presumably it won't be a tie. I think it'd be a lot of pressure on the other candidate to kind of say, all right, let's unify, let's back the winner here. On the other hand, it's hard to do that when you run a race and you come up, you know, two votes short.
Right.
It's a lot of energy there, time and energy put into a campaign, and they may want to ask for the recount.
We are talking with Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter Sean Johnson about some of the key state Senate races and primary results from those key state Senate races, and looking ahead to the fall as well, and welcoming your thoughts, your questions, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We are on the campaign trail this hour, previewing some of the big state Senate races. Democrats are targeting three Republican-held districts this fall in hopes of taking back control of the state Senate. We are talking with WPR state government reporter Sean Johnson about those districts and those races. We've talked now about the 17th district. Now let's talk about the other two, the 19th, where Republican Mike Ellis is stepping down, Sean.
Yeah, the 19th is you have Democrat Penny Bernard-Shaber running. She's been a state representative for a few years now, and she's running against Republican Roger Roth, who was who served, I think, one term in the legislature several sessions ago, and has a family history in politics in that district. This is, you know, this is one that Mike Ellis has held for a long time, and you know, sometimes you would say that you have an open seat, that's going to open it up for the party that wants to challenge, that wants to take the seat. So in this case, the Democrats. But it may be that once Mike Ellis stepped out of this seat, it became a little bit harder for Penny Bernard Schaber, because in Ellis you had somebody who'd been there a long time, she could kind of paint him as somebody who'd been around too long, had some controversial moments recently. Mm-hmm. A few high profile bills, famously broke his gavel, mm-hmm. trying to call the Senate to order there. But Mike Ellis stepped down, and you have Republican Roger Roth running there. He's got a voting record. I mean, he was in the legislature for a little while, but it's, not a long voting record. And this is, by the numbers, this is, I think you have to say, a Republican district. I mean, Scott Walker won it in the recall, with 59% of the vote. In the presidential race, Barack Obama, did well in Wisconsin, won the state. Here, he won the district, but just narrowly. I mean, he had 49% of the vote, mm-hmm. and it's like 49.05 to Romney's 49.03. It's really close. So there's a chance for Democrats here. They like Penny Bernard Schaber. She's well known in Appleton, certainly, where she's been representing the area for a few years now. But we'll see what happens there. It's I think aside from the Schultz seat, which is pretty good for Democrats by the numbers, the other open seats that they're targeting are certainly not easy for them by the numbers. But it's kind of a case of you have an opportunity and they like their candidates.
Yeah, and the other opportunity in a district that, as far as I know, also leans Republican, it's the ninth Senate district, which is State Senator Joe Lightbulb had to, step down to run for Congress, so that seat is open.
Yeah, you talk about kind of a domino effect. Mm-hmm. I mean, once Glenn Grothman decided he was going to challenge Tom Petri in a primary, and there was going to be a primary, Petri decided he wasn't going to run again. And Lightbulb decided, this is my chance. He got out of there. Grothman had less to lose because Grothman was not up for election this year. Even if he ends up losing, a close race here. And as we stand right now, Grothman is ahead in the 6th congressional district. But, Joe Lightbulb, on the other hand, had everything to lose here. He's not up in... his seat was up for election in November. So by running for Congress, he left it open kind of late, not with a lot of time to field another candidate. So Democrat Martha Lanning was already on the ground, had been running for quite a while, has high name recognition in the district from charitable work that she's done there. Republican Devin Lemieux is who got in for the GOP. He is the son of Daniel Lemieux.
That name sounded familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed. And so this is one that, you look at the top of the ticket. Scott Walker won it with 64% of the vote in the recall. Recall may be an imperfect measure of the district because there are a lot of people who voted for Walker, it's thought, because they didn't like the recall. But even if you look at the presidential race, Mitt Romney won this district with 53% of the vote. So not an easy district for Dems to take by the numbers, but an open seat. You don't have Lightbulb in there. And they do like Martha Lanning in that district.
Well, speaking of open seats, there were at least a couple of state Senate seats that it looks like the primary election determined who the senator is going to be for those districts because they are so heavily Republican or Democratic.
Yes. Mm. And one of those, which would amount to a flip in a roundabout kind of way, is the 21st state Senate district in southeast Wisconsin. This is a district that used to includes the city of Racine and Racine County. It now includes more rural parts of both Racine and Kenosha County. It went from being a 50-50 district to a very Republican district. And so you had in this primary Van Wongard, former Republican senator, running to take back his old seat. And he had a challenge on the right from Jonathan Stites, who had run in one of the other recall elections. Stites was really attacking Wongard for taking positions that he said were not conservative enough. Always hard to gauge how a race like that is going when you're not there. And it felt close. But if you look at the final outcome, it didn't end up that way. Van Wongard won that race with 71% of the vote, wow, defeating Jonathan Stites. So Wongard does have a general election challenge with Randy Bryce, the candidate for Democrats. But this is a Republican-drawn district. It's Republican by the numbers. Wongard goes into that race the heavy favorite, and there's a decent chance he's going to be a state senator again. The other race, the primary race that probably elected their state senator on Tuesday, was the 15th state senate district around Janesville. And that had a three-way primary between Janice Ringhand, Austin Szczesinski, and former Assembly Speaker Mike Sheridan, who's seeking to make a political comeback there. That was a close one, kind of a surprisingly close district. And, it tightened as the Janesville numbers came in. Szczesinski had strong support in Janesville and really closed the gap with Janice Ringhand at the very end there. But she ended up winning with about 40% of the vote to 38% of the vote for him. And so Janice Ringhand, a state representative from that district right now, likely going to be the state senator from that district, because this is a district that, not only did it support Barack Obama with strong numbers in the presidential race, it also supported Tom Barrett in his losing recall effort in 2012. So Janice Ringhand probably going to be the state senator there. She does have a general election challenger from Republican Brian Fitzgerald.
Well, we wanted to talk to you primarily about the state Senate, because there is the chance that that could change hands in terms of political control. But before we let you go, Sean, let's talk very briefly about the 6th Congressional District with Glenn Grothman and Joe Lipum in this very, very close race. Grothman was called the winner by AP, but then AP had to take that back because apparently votes were coming in from Sheboygan County, bringing Joe Lipum closer and closer to the numbers. It looks like Grothman is now 214 votes ahead.
And that's where it stands. Yeah, on election night, it looked like Grothman was going to run away with it. And it's because the counties that were not in Joe Lipum's basically strength, Sheboygan County, Manitowoc County, they came in later. And Sheboygan County came in much later because they had computer problems. They had to hand enter some totals into spreadsheets. It was a long wait to find those totals. A lot of hitting refresh on a lot of computers as people watched to see what was going to happen there. And as the Sheboygan numbers came in, I mean, they were going overwhelmingly toward Lipum, but it wasn't quite enough. He is behind Glenn Grothman by 214 votes, as you mentioned. And we played that cut from Reed Magny at the GAB earlier. Everything he said there applies to this race, too. I mean, the rules for recounts are the same as for state races. You wait till this Friday to see if any absentee ballots came in by mail. What that could potentially change the total. Then you got to certify the canvas. At that point, it's up to the candidates to decide whether they want to ask for a recount.
So we're off and running for November then, at least in many of the other races.
Yes, we are.
All right. Thanks, Sean. Sean Johnson, Wisconsin Public Radio state government reporter. We are going to take a look at another race that's going to be on the November ballot. It's the race for attorney general. We'll talk with a law and political science professor about that one coming up after we check the latest news. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.